Let's open with a word of prayer this morning. Father, we thank you that we can gather in your name. We thank you for your precious word. We thank you for every book in the Bible. We thank you for the book of Psalms and all 150 of them. And as we look at another one today, Lord, may we glean what you would have for us. And then may we pray as you would lead us to pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, continuing on, you might say, well, why are we in 139? Because we were in 138 last week. Well, we did 139 already. We did it a few months ago. And so I went on to 140 because we have not covered that one yet here in this group. And 140 is a prayer for deliverance from evil men. Now, it may seem strange to you that we have no evil around us today, but there was evil around in David's day. Actually, I think it was much more severe than anything you and I have ever experienced. We complain about long lines at the grocery store, and parking is kind of a problem, but we don't have anybody shooting arrows at us, literally, or cutting off people's thumbs and noses and hands in front of our faces. So prayer for deliverance from evil men. We have an interesting only verse in the Bible in this psalm, in verse 7, and it says, O God, and notice all the letters in O God are capitalized. That is the Hebrew for Yah. We would also say Yahweh, or we would say Jehovah. But O Yah, the Lord, the Adonai, the strength of my salvation. Verse 6, before that, I said to the Lord, you are my God. So there we have Yahweh again. We have Yahweh again in the 8th verse. Do not grant, O Yahweh. So we have Yahweh here 4 times in 3 verses, I believe. So I thought we would sing a song about Yahweh. You think that makes sense? Can you get the connection there? So we want to sing, Guide me, O thou great Jehovah. Let's sing along. This is in Welsh, by the way. Some of the words you may not be able to hear clearly, but we got to print it out here, and they're pretty familiar to most of us, I think. Guide me, O thou great Jehovah, pilgrim through this barren land. You know, it's kind of interesting, this song, written 1745, we have so many hymns that are so rich in scripture written just prior to the founding of our country. And the Lord does all things perfectly, so he had this great awakening in England and in the British Isles, and the Bible was made available to the people, and it went through the whole nations there, prompting people to be more aware of the Lord, I think. And of course, then there were still the forces within the government against that. So that kind of prompted the Pilgrims and others to leave, got them over here, and then founded this nation. But when you see a hymn written in 1700 or even 1600 or even 1500, generally speaking, and the ones that have survived, there are a lot of written that weren't surviving, they're also rich in scripture, aren't they? And it's hard to find that today. We have some great musical songs today, but generally speaking, the content is very surface, very much emotional, very much centered on ourselves. And these are, you see, are not centered on self as much as it's centered on Him, right? Good point for all of us, I think, to keep in mind. So we have another Psalm of David here. I think this was fairly early in his life. I personally believe this was primarily for him fleeing from the time of Saul's hunting him down. But Israel had violent men, evil men against them all through his life. And so it may not be just that, but listen to the words here as we read through it. Deliver me, O Lord, O Yahweh, from evil men. Preserve me from violent men who plan evil things in their hearts. They continually gather together for war. They sharpen their tongues like a serpent. The poison of asps is under their lips. Keep me, O Yahweh, O Lord, from the hands of the wicked. Preserve me from violent men, repeating that again, who have proposed or purposed to make my steps stumble. You'll see these various hurdles here. The proud have hidden a snare for me and cords. They have spread a net by the wayside. They have set traps for me. And I think that's primarily for us today, is primarily in the spiritual realm from Satan and the workers of iniquity as opposed to individuals, but they try their best, at least in a way, to do the same thing, it seems. Verse 6, I said to Yahweh, I said to the Lord, you are my God. Hear the voice of my supplications, O Yahweh, O God. And the next word is in, O Yahweh again, O God, the Adonai, the Lord, the strength of my salvation. You have covered my head in the day of battle. Do not grant, O Lord, the desires of the wicked. Do not further his wicked scheme, lest they be exalted. As for the head of those who surrounded me, let the evil of their lips cover them. Let burning coals fall upon them. Let them be cast into the fire, into deep pits, that they rise not up again. Let not a slanderer be established in the earth. Let evil hunt the violent man to overthrow him. I know that the Lord will maintain the cause of the afflicted and justice for the poor. Surely the righteous shall give thanks to your name. The upright shall dwell in your presence. So as we see this little psalm, we got to remember that it was written in Old Testament times, and we're certainly under a different situation since Jesus. You remember, as we get back to these imprecatory psalm prayers here, I don't think they're for us. I don't think Jesus was on the cross saying, burn them, Lord, burn them. He was saying, Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. But there is a part of that I think we can pray. Well, verse 1 says, deliver me, O Lord, from evil men. Deliver me, O Lord, from evil men. Preserve me from violent men. Perfect prayer, perfect request. We need deliverance from evil. Isn't that part of the model prayer? For to deliver us from the evil. Preserve me from violent men who plan evil things in their heart. They continually gather for war. This is not just an individual who wants to pick a fight and have one fight and that's it. They're continually planning for war. These are premeditated situations. They continually gather together for war. They sharpen their tongues like a serpent. Now, it is believed at this particular time, they kind of thought that poisonous snakes deposited the poison from their tongue. But we know now it comes from the teeth. But whether or not they actually is literal or not, it sharpens their tongue like a serpent, and the tongue is really an evil instrument, isn't it? As James says, we can't tame it. So they sharpen it. They dart in and out. And then the poison of asps is under their lips. Paul will refer to this in Romans 3 as one of the many psalms he strings together there. But they sharpen their tongues like a serpent. The poison, that's the adder, that's a deadly poison. The poison of asps is under their lips. And just picture your mouth, and picture other mouths, picture particularly those mouths that are led by Satan. They have just the evil and the wicked, violent, poisonous stuff coming out of their mouth all the time. Shifts a little bit, and then Selah, or in other words, stop and consider this. Just stop and consider this. Pause a minute. And then we go on to verse 4. Guard or protect. The word here is keep. Keep me, O Lord, from the hands of the wicked. Preserve is slightly a different word, but really means the same thing. Preserve me from violent men. So keep me and preserve me. Preserve me from violent men who have purposed to make my steps stumble. There are those around who just want to stumble you. They're purposing in their heart to make you stumble. They're planning on that. It doesn't just happen. They're planning on how can I trip you up, or how can I make you fall. The proud have hidden a snare for me. So there's a snare. That would be the thing they would use in those days, was an open pit covered by some camouflage and in the middle of the road, so to speak. And they'd try to put you to flight. And when you ran over the hole, you'd fall in the hole. You didn't know there was a hole under there. And that's the snare. They also had snares to catch birds in those days. Hidden a snare for me and cords or ropes. They have spread a net by the wayside. It's another method of an entrapment, a net, and they set traps. So all of these methods of ensnaring you, and you can just put Satan in the middle of all that, and you can see how he does every one of these things. Now we change again in Selah, so consider this, and now we change again in verses 6 and 7 and 8, and we have this beautiful passage of the Lord and of Adonai, the Lord, all caps, meaning Yahweh. We call it Jehovah. We don't really know how to pronounce it. I said to Yahweh, or to the Lord, you are my God. Notice that. He owns you. You don't own him. You are my God because you own me. Hear the voice of my supplication again, O Yahweh. And then again, O Yahweh, the Lord. And as I mentioned, or O Yah is in really the Hebrew. O Yah, the Adonai. O Yah, the Adonai. And that has the aspects of the prophetic Savior, Messiah, in it as well, I believe. O Yahweh, the Messiah, or the Adonai. The strength of my salvation. That is where salvation is in the Messiah. Came to give salvation to you and to me. You have covered my head in the day of battle. Maybe a better translation there is in the day of armor. In the day of armor. When you put the armor on, who covers your head? It is he. He is the one who is covering your head in the day of battle. That's the armor you have. And now he has a couple of real good prayers here. I think we can pray these. Do not grant, O Lord, the desires of the wicked. Do not further his wicked scheme. I think those are perfectly good prayers for the, I'll call them New Testament. We got New Testament prayers and Old Testament prayers, right? So I would classify these as New Testament prayers, good to pray. Do not grant the desires of the wicked. Do not further his wicked scheme, lest they be exalted. Now, these next three verses, I don't think are for us. I think we have been saved from all of this, and I think we have experienced and seen God's grace and his mercy and our Lord's example of the most evil and extreme thing anybody could ever do is what they did to him on the cross. There's never been anything more evil and wicked than that. But rather than pray these prayers for them, any of them, what did he say? He said, Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. And so we need to make a clear distinction here between loving the sinner and hating the sin, and loving the people and let God judge them and not the other way around. I'll judge them and let God love them. I think that's what our flesh wants to do, but that's not the right order. But the psalmist says, as for the head of those who surround me, so he's talking about the evil ones, his enemies, let the evil of their lips cover them. Let burning coals fall upon them. Let them be cast into the fire, into deep pits, that they rise not up again. Well, that's kind of harsh, isn't it? We're praying for salvation for people, not that they go to hell, right? And this is more of a description of hell. Into deep pits they rise not up again. Let not a slanderer be established in the earth. I certainly like that idea. Let evil hunt the violent men to overthrow him, and sin will fall on itself eventually. We know that. But God will do that, not us. And then the last two verses, I know that the Lord will maintain the cause of the afflicted, so should we, right? The Lord will maintain the cause of the afflicted and justice for the poor. He is there and our defender in every way. Surely the righteous shall give thanks to your name. Are we doing that? How thankful are you? You say, well, we had Thanksgiving a couple of weeks ago on Thursday, and I really thanked the Lord pretty much all that day. I'm really a thankful person. Well, have you thanked him today? Are you always thanking him? If you had a flat tire, I don't think anybody had a flat tire here on the way, they wouldn't be here. But if you did, are you thankful you even have a car? Are you thankful you have wheels? You thank you have something to go flat, or a battery that's dead? There's always something to thank him for, no matter what situation we're in. Surely the righteous shall give thanks to your name. The upright shall dwell in your presence. And I added, forevermore. I think that's the understanding here. The righteous shall dwell in your presence forevermore. He did not come just to save us, and that's the end of it, for our lifetime or this year or whatever. He came to save us forevermore, right? Father, we thank you for your faithfulness. We thank you for evermore. Thank you for the living hope that we have in you and what you've done for us. And Lord, help us to pray aright. And we do want to pray against evil. We do want to pray especially against the wicked forces binding in the hearts and minds of the unbeliever, Lord, and that blindness that's there. We want to come against that, because we're praying for the only bittersweet aspect of our Christian walk, in a way, and that's those around us who do not know you yet, and knowing what's ahead for them without you. And so, Lord, we want to remember that as well this morning. So lead us now in these moments of prayer, in Jesus' name. Father, we thank you for meeting us here again this morning. We pray that during this Christmas season that it would be a time for those hearts that are somewhat more open to you than other times of the year to come to you, Lord, to receive the gift, not just to be interested at a distance, but to come all the way to you and to be born again. So we do pray above all else for the lost, Lord, knowing that you want none to be lost, but all to come to repentance. Many or all are chosen, or many or all are called, but few are chosen, meaning that most will resist happily going to outer darkness. Lord, those you put in our life, may they see you in us, and that's why you have us still here. So we pray for fruitfulness, Lord. Help us to know who you are, that you are indeed our Lord and Savior. Let's close here by just singing this song, He is Lord.
He is Lord. He is Lord. He has risen from the dead, and He is Lord. Every knee shall bow. Yeah.
confess. Jesus Christ is Lord.
Father, may we cry out to you, every believer, saying, indeed, you are our Lord. Yeah, thank you, Jesus. We are yours. We've been bought, purchased, redeemed by your blood, Lord. May we acknowledge you as Lord. And may our lives speak that, Lord, to all of those around us. We ask in Jesus' name. Bless each one because they came, Lord, and may we be thankfully honoring you as Lord this day. In Jesus' name, amen.